and welcome to Long Box Heroes, episode 60. I'm Todd, joined with Leonard. How you doing today, Leonard?
Oh, man. I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing fantastic. Never better, you know? Never better. Each show I do, I feel better and better. So by 100, I should be immortal. That's the way I look at it.
You should be at the peak of your physical game?
Yes, and it's all about the game and the way you play it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I heard.
I miss that music, by the way. I don't like the new stuff that he comes out to.
Oh, it's the
less than a minute in wrestling talk comes up.
I look at it as it's all about the game is probably the greatest intro music of all time, in my opinion.
We may have mentioned this before. Everything kind of blends together when we do the Etch-a-Sketch head shake after we're done doing the show and everything's gone to the ether.
That's right, the brain dump.
I have to send you the link to the WrestleMania 17 where Motorhead actually plays Triple H to the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And Lemmy,
I think I saw that.
Right, and they have the actual words going underneath, and what Lemmy is saying doesn't even come close.
Wow.
Yes.
I like when he does
Lemmy might have been in an altered state, which doesn't sound like the Lemmy Kilmeister I know.
No, it doesn't sound. He was a certain wrestling fan, but I changed my mind. Don't worry about it.
All right.
Yes. So, any other interesting stuff?
I had wrestling this weekend. I was on the road in Connecticut and Rhode Island.
Two good states.
I got to talk to and meet some fans of the show.
I thought you got to talk to meet for a second.
I'd like to talk to meet. Oh man, I wonder what he's up to these days. Ironically, he's probably recording this conversation as well, about as inside of a remark as it gets.
Right.
I got a chance to meet. Right, met some fans, listeners of the show, fans of the show. Longtime super fan of the show, Rick Williams at Free Karate Chops, on the old Twitter machine. He gave me stickers, and that's the way to my heart. If you want to curry my favor, stickers. Right?
That is true. I've never seen you happier than when someone's handing you a sticker.
And, the last time that I was up in the New England area for a Chikara show, he had actually given me these, one of these like funky resin figures that he makes. I think I might have showed it to you. Remember that giant Hulk figure that you had given me that weighs like 15 pounds, but it's only like 3 inches tall?
Right.
It's that body with Hulk Hogan's head on it as a resin figure.
Oh.
Right. And that's the only time his name will be mentioned anymore. But he does have a whole bunch of other, like, cool little resin figures, like, based on lucha characters, wrestling things, comic book things. They're really cool Double Dragon stuff, old He-Man stuff. There's a Ric Flair one that he does, Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, and he has a store where he sells them all, and they're really cool. You should check them out. It's freekaratechops.storeenvy.com. To check out the stuff. And like he does, like they're all like blister packed as well, or some of them are blister packed. Like the one I got is blister packed. I think the Hulkster ones are blister packed. There's a Kang one where the art on the blister pack is done by his 8-year-old daughter.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes. So, I'm going to include that in the show notes so you could check them out. They're really cool. And he's a longtime listener and fan and everything of the show, all around good guy. So it was nice to talk to him, albeit briefly. Todd, what do we have on the show today?
In news, we have a all new ages book.
I like all ages books.
Go ahead.
I said I like all ages books.
I know. We'll discuss that. I love all ages books too. Also, who owns the word Comic-Con? I think we do, but that's a whole nother story.
Right.
Also, we have Con News, speaking of Comic-Con. Free digital books and sales.
Mm-hmm.
What we read last week, I think we cross over on everything. We're going to do Weird World, Magneto, and Sinestro, right?
That's correct.
what we're looking forward to this week. And it's, I think I have yours, but it's a crazy week of lots of good writers and artists. So it's going to be a tough one in some places. And we also have, our character of the year, brackets. This week was the Marvel bracket, Hulk against Spider-Man. And next, and also we will have the DC bracket this week to talk about.
That's correct. And so much more.
And so much more. No movies or TV at the end. We have to wait for Fear of the Walking Dead.
Right. And I saw Jessica Jones got delayed.
Yeah. I don't know what's up with that. And we're getting, rumor is we're going to get Netflix Marvel TV shows every 6 months now. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to see. Well, I don't know.
And see, that's the weird thing about it is because Daredevil came out in February.
Right.
6 months from February, half November, 30 days. What? No. Anyway, 6 months from February would have been August, which is when it was scheduled to kind of be released. It was just like a kind of nebulous end of summer. But when they just made that announcement about we're going to get two a year, essentially, I saw that that got moved to the end of this year.
Right.
So I can only imagine that Jessica Jones got moved so that the rest of them can be on that one every 6 months schedule.
That's probably it, because I can't imagine they don't want to have, they have a timetable, you know, with all the Marvel movies. They probably might start doing little cameo, not cameos, but little nuggets in the storylines and stuff like that. So you want everything to line up so you can put out your, because they're going to have three movies a year and blah, blah, blah. So you want to have them at the right times. Maybe that's what they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm. I hope so. Marvel has not made a misstep yet. And I doubt this will be the beginning of said missteps.
They haven't made any missteps. They've made a bad movie, but they haven't made a misstep.
Mm-hmm. So.
That's my opinion, anyway.
Right. So you had mentioned some of the news stuff that we have. It was a light news week. I'm not really sure what's going on. But one of the things that finally is starting to come out from San Diego, we saw that there was supposed to be another Spider-Man book. And now it was teased that there was going to be a third Spider-Man book kind of alongside the one that's just called Spider-Man and The Amazing Spider-Man that's coming out. Well, there still might be, because there's that other one that had, like, the Deadpool team up. But this is them doing kind of a high-profile, all-ages Spider-Man book. And this is Marvel putting Robbie Thompson, who is doing Silk currently, Nick Bradshaw, Wolverine and the X-Men, so essentially saying that it's an in-continuity series. However, it's going to be a new legend of its own. It's going to be more Silver Agey. They're going to be one and done, and they're going to hopefully appeal to lapsed, new, and veteran readers that are quote unquote unburdened by continuity stories.
Right.
Listen, you could say all these words that I just said. Let's just put out more good comic books, and if Spider-Man happens to be in it, that's even better.
Right. Basically, what this reminds me of is the Kurt Busiek comic from years and years and years ago.
Oh, yeah.
What was it?
Untold Tales of Spider-Man.
That's what I feel like this is going to be. But now, Kurt Busiek wove in continuity and wove it in amazingly well. But, like, that's what I feel like we're going to get with this book. And, hey, we've talked about it before. I'm all for all-ages books because, you know, you need to get the new generation of readers from somewhere. And making, you know, modern superheroes in your everyday universe, like, you know, people who cut off heads and, you know, try to make them like, you know, video games and stuff like that just doesn't work. You got to get something that the kids can have fun with and enjoy. And I'm all for, you know, stuff like that. So I hope this works out.
See, for me, I feel that the problem with the all ages books is that they kind of get the short shrift, that they don't get the same push on the markets or in the catalogs or, you know, from the companies themselves as the quote unquote main universe stuff. They're kind of relegated to the back of the catalog. I know in recent years, Marvel has essentially just taken stills from the cartoons, that are on Disney XD and just like taken those and made those into the comic books. The fact that they're actually taking the time and effort to put a halfway decent creative team on it, And the fact that it seems like they're going to give it that little bit of a push, I hope this is the beginning of things. Now, in my opinion, I feel that all books should be kind of all ages, whether it's heavy in continuity or not heavy in continuity. But if this is Marvel starting to go toward that trend, starting with a book like Spider-Man, then by all means, that it's original content, you know, geared toward an all-ages, non-continuity heavy, whatever it is, but still enjoyable. That's the most important thing for me, as long as it's enjoyable.
So you think all comics should be that way? Comic books? Superhero comic books?
I think for the most part. I think that there should be more all-ages, easily accessible books than there should be wide-spanning epics.
Okay, see, I'm trying to grasp what you're saying, because I definitely agree that there should be more of these, mm-hmm. but then, like your epics, you need those too, if you know what I'm saying. Like, you need to, where you're saying there should be more of these all ages, non-continuity, heavy books, blah, blah, blah. I agree, but there shouldn't be more than.
No.
Okay. I was not trying to understand what you were saying. I think there should be a nice balance.
Right. But even what I'm saying is like, let's say, for example, like, in a perfect world, there's no reason that Amazing Spider-Man should not mm-hmm. be an all-ages, reader-friendly, young and old-alike book, but still be steeped in its own continuity, but accessible to those people that aren't rich in that history. You know what I mean?
I'm totally with you, because that's what kept me off the X-Men books for mm-hmm. years. That's like, there's your warning caution flag, is the X-Men books for two decades.
Right, and I was going to say, it wasn't until like the late 80s, early 90s even, where that really became the thing, where mm-hmm. you had to either be reading everything, or if you had not been reading the book for X amount of years, don't even bother because you're lost. Like, they would claim that there would be these jumping on points, mm-hmm. but they really wouldn't be. They would be garbled messes, and that was like toward the end of the 90s, where you had those books like Untold Tales of Spider-Man that were throwbacks to those 60s and 70s stories. There was even like a book that was called like Professor X and the X-Men or something that was also in that same vein. Okay. I don't know the creative teams on it, but it wasn't as good or as successful or as long, I guess.
Didn't have the longevity
of that Untold Tales book. I love that Untold Tales run. Great, great stuff.
I ended up picking that up on Dave's discount table.
Okay.
The omnibus for $20, the whole run. Along, it even has Aunt May's wheat cake recipe in there.
Does it have the two annuals in it as well, or the three?
I don't have it in front of me, but I think it does.
Because there,
yes, it must, because that's where the wheat cake recipe was in one of the annuals.
Because there was two annuals from Untold, and then there was an annual from Amazing Spider-Man at that time that was the sequel to the other annual. It was like the first annual in Untold was the flashback story, essentially. And then it's like, mm-hmm. now this villain who you've never seen or heard from before is back in the current continuity.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. They need to do more stuff like that.
Fun stuff?
There is good, right, fun stuff. There is good stuff that happened in comics in the 90s that we can learn from. We just need to pick and choose the right ones.
Oh, yes. There are many cautionary tales, but there are a few, you know, adventurous things that worked really well.
Wasn't it just like a year ago that it seemed like lenticular and like those weird covers and stuff were coming back?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it was about a year ago, and like we talked about it here, and like, I'm glad that that's still not a thing.
I am too, because it scares me, because I was always on the tracks of comics were heading for a mini glut again. Yes. And it was funny, and it was this time it was led by the charge by DC, because at Marvel during this time it was Bob Harris and all these guys and lenticular covers and this and that, and it was like, you know, that just Marvel was a mess at the time, and then DC was like, oh, we need the editors. Bob Harris, come over and do this and that, and they're like 3D covers and this and events, and I'm like, oh boy. I'm like, I definitely see a coming back of certain things, like the 90s with a roaring vengeance. hopefully we're getting away from that. And I'm looking at the Untold Tales of Spider-Man Omnibus now.
Yes.
And it has all the issues, you know, 1 through 25, I guess. Annuals 1 and 2. Reprints of Amazing Fantasy 16, 17, and 18.
Eh.
And Amazing Spider-Man Annual 37.
Oh, there you go. So, yes, it does.
So that's... Yep, if you can pick one of those up, I highly recommend it.
Does it have the minus anybody. Issue?
You know what? I put it away, but I don't... I think it might have. Uh-huh. Because it would say it had Untold Tales of Spider-Man 1 to 25, so I'm wondering if that counts as having the minus 1 in there.
Uh-huh.
You know, because a lot of people put it before issue 1, but minus 1... I don't know if you get what I'm saying.
I do.
Mm-hmm.
So the other bit of news that you had mentioned is who owns the words Comic-Con? Mm-hmm. Everything is a Comic-Con, a comic book convention. It's a short way to do it. It's a short way to say it. Mm-hmm. And you start seeing more and more of these things start coming out and saying fan expo or, you know, some other terminology, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because... It's starting to get to a point that San Diego, and again, San Diego is actually officially called Comic-Con International.
Mm-hmm.
That takes place in San Diego. But they claim to own the trademark on it, mm-hmm. on the words Comic-Con to be, not to call something Comic-Con, but to be put on merchandise. Okay. Like a t-shirt or a poster or, you know, anything like that. But then there's the company that does like the Rhode Island and Kansas City Comic-Cons that claim they own the trademark on it. And this all, right. And so does the Denver Comic-Con, which are all separate and all individual of each other. Why? Why is this happening?
Because people are getting into a certain kind of contest here. I just look at
it's
it
like
as
1984 in the territories, man.
That's what I was thinking. Baltimore still holding.
And Baltimore's called Baltimore Comic Con. You don't see them getting involved in this nonsense.
You probably will. I look at it as it's a comic convention. Con is short for convention. There are Star Trek conventions, you know, this con. I'm sorry, but I don't think you, like, I'm not a lawyer, but I think Comic Con, if you can't, like, Denver can't sell San Diego Comic-Con merchandise, mm-hmm. but I think they should be able to say on their shirts, Denver Comic-Con. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
It's no.
Like, that just seems like the simplest answer.
I do, but I think where the concern comes in and the issue comes in is the fact that San Diego is technically called Comic-Con International. And they can come back and say, by you calling yourself XYZ Comic-Con, you're creating confusion in the marketplace. And you could be, you're essentially selling to people by using our name as Comic-Con International the experience that they can only get in San Diego.
Yeah, that's crazy. I don't agree with
right,
that.
I don't agree with that either, but I could see some lawyer saying that in a
some ambulance chase.
Right, exactly. And I think it's just all silly. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what was even like there was a period of time for 2 years where like Wizard wasn't calling their comic book conventions Comic Cons. They were like entertainment expos or whatever it is. And right. Now they're back to calling
Wizard
them Comic Cons.
Yeah. We're just Wizard World and whatever.
Right. This seems like a waste of time for all parties involved. Like, instead of even getting into the murk or the mud with these people, just figure out something else. Like, obviously, you can't use Fan Expo because I'm sure the people who do Fan Expo have that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's such a silly thing. I wanted to bring it up on the show.
Right. And then even if somebody does do something first, then does that mean every person after that has to, like, do something different?
Well...
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes and no. No, they don't have to. If what you're doing is essentially the same exact thing, you know, it's... I'm trying to think what the best way to...
I know, it's confusing to get your point across.
Right, because it's technically... What is it? It's a comic book convention. Well, where is it? It's in San Diego. It's in Denver. It's in whatever. You know, it's no different than an anime convention. You know, mm-hmm. like Otakon is the biggest anime convention. I could be wrong. Even like listening to Podvocacy the other day, I didn't know that there were multiple Transformer conventions. Like, I thought there was just like maybe like one or two a year, but apparently there's multiple of them all throughout the year. But the big one is called BotCon.
BotCon, yes, even I know right. that one because I used to follow like the toys for a while.
So, like, is it going to get to the point where like we can't like it's going to get so bad like you can't use the word con when referring to a convention?
Well, maybe you'll just have to, you know, well, comic is tough, but with Autobots you could or Transformers you can get away with, you know, different names for the convention until you go. But comic, there's not many other ways to say Comic-Con in my mind than Comic-Con, like Comic Expo, like you said, or comic, I don't know, just extravaganza.
Right. See, I'm thinking along the lines of you get words like extravaganza or maybe gathering, like gathering of the Juggalos. It's like gathering mm-hmm. of the comic book something or others.
Mm-hmm.
But then I know ICP is notoriously litigious as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I think they all went to law school, that's why. But, yeah, so I don't know. Like, and I think Comic Extravaganza is copyrighted by Longbox Heroes, so don't try to use that. And we don't want that on any shirts, or our crack team of lawyers will be coming after you. That's all I'm saying.
We're going to get our top men on this one.
That's right. Do we have Bob Loblaw on our law team?
Oh, from the Bob Loblaw Law Blog?
That's a mouthful. Bob Loblaw lobs law bomb. That's my favorite.
Oh, man. We were just talking about Arrested Development the other day. What a good show.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, speaking of comic book conventions,
yes.
There's a bunch of them happening this weekend.
Where are they happening?
Well, Wizard is having one in the Richmond area. And they have, you know, your usual Bill Shatner, who's the cornerstone of these conventions for Wizard World, of course. Billy Dee Williams is starting to make the comic convention rounds these days.
He could sign those Lando comics. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right. Somebody must have tipped him off that his likeness is being used in a comic book.
That's right.
And Todd's future ex-wife, Paige, of the World Wrestling Entertainments will be there as well.
One of my future ex-wives.
One of them.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a comic book convention in Tampa Bay. I know listener of the show, Dave Puente, might be going to that. He was fishing for people to go. That's a little too far for my liking. But they got Carrie Fisher, Tom Kenny, Billy West. But they also have, in the comic book realm, your man, your boy, Kevin Maguire, Mark Waid, Barry Kitson, so it's a litany of folks there.
Mm-hmm.
But the big one this weekend is the Boston Comic Con in Boston, Massachusetts. If only it was last weekend when I was in the area, I could have went.
Mm.
You know, Scott Snyder, Amanda Connor, Jimmy Pamiotti, Steve Lieber, Stan Lee, not to be confused with Stan Lieber. Lots and lots of folks are going to be at that one. The Boston one is more of the comic one. Tampa Bay, more of the entertainment-y one.
Mm-hmm. When I was looking at your notes that you sent me and I saw the names like Scott Snyder, Elvira, and I looked at it really quick and you had Thomas Jane
yes.
next to Franco.
Yes.
And I thought Jane Franco was going to be there. And I'm like, is that like James Franco's sister?
Right.
It's like, what was she in?
I make these notes to confuse you.
To anger and both anger and confuse me. Mm-hmm.
And now speaking of such things, as things to anger and confuse, next week is Longbox Heroes Week.
Oh!
It's going to be a week-long celebration of all things Longbox Heroes that probably isn't going to have something happen every day of the week.
Ah, but we can maybe call it an extravaganza.
Right. Well, no, this week's episode so far is called the podcast extravaganza.
Okay.
Until we think of something better to say or something dumber to say.
Which has happened.
Placeholder title.
Mm-hmm.
So, next week is going to be a very special episode of the main show. Next week is also going to be a very special episode of After Dark. Mm-hmm. Which means the story that I teased on this week's After Dark, I'm not going to be able to tell for 2 weeks.
What?
So the statute of limitations will absolutely be passed by then.
Whoa.
And also next week, Todd and I are going to record a live episode of Long Box Heroes for some purpose, mm-hmm. where we are going to go see the Fantastic Four movie in the drive-in. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you saw the news story about this, that they embargoed all reviews not to come out until the day of.
Sure, because they're so good. They're so good that they would detract. They're like, you know what? This movie's so good, I shouldn't go see it because I will be, my senses will be overwhelmed.
That's right.
I think that's what happened.
So we're going to go see it at the drive-in. We're going to record our reaction to the movie as we're watching it. Mm-hmm. And then we're either beforehand or afterwards, we're going to go to Denny's and get mm-hmm. things off the Fantastic Four menu.
Actual things? Ben Grimm's?
Right.
And we're getting thing sauce on everything.
I was
going
to say,
right?
Thing sauce for everyone.
That's right. And if you get some thing sauce, you get some thing sauce. We'll be like Oprah with thing sauce.
If we didn't already have an episode title in reference to the thing sauce, Oprah with thing sauce would have been this week's episode title.
Well.
But the reason I bring this up here on the show is a few listeners actually expressed interest mm-hmm. in joining us for this.
Right.
So I ask you, Todd, is Friday night or Saturday night better for you to see Fantastic Four?
Let's put it this way. I know our schedule.
Right.
And whether I sit on the couch on Friday night eating Doritos and getting crumbs on my chest, or I do that on Saturday night, is, you know, I could, you know, flop that out. So whichever night is easier for
okay. you. Okay. So, not a sponsor of the show by any
Doritos.
Means necessary, but we're going to be going to the Garden Drive-In in West Nanticoke. The mm-hmm. show starts at 8:30. Now, they haven't officially announced you know, that it's going to be there, but I would assume it's the big release of the week. It's going to be on one of the two screens that they have there. It's the new release, so it'll be on the first movie, not the second movie, in the double feature. Mm-hmm. I leave this to you, the listeners. If you are serious about coming to see the movie with us mm-hmm. and going to Denny's possibly after the movie, mm-hmm. let us know what day works better for you. Mm-hmm. If we get enough people who actually express an interest of coming to see the movie with us, and enough people say, I could definitely do a Friday, I could definitely do a Saturday, Todd and I, as mentioned, for the most part, just so happens, Todd's schedule is a little bit more flexible than mine. Like, sometimes I'm out of town for wrestling and whatnot. Luckily, next weekend is free. No super secret science job, no wrestling, no nothing. So if you actually are interested in coming to West Nanticoke, Pennsylvania, we're not all going to pile in the same car together, but at least it'll be a communal viewing experience, and we'll all go to Denny's afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And let us know.
I think they have lettuce with thing sauce at Denny's.
I wonder what would happen if you mixed the thing sauce with the Invisible Woman citrus sauce that's on the pancakes.
Oh my God, that would be fantastic, Mister. I mean, Mister Fantastic.
Horrible.
I know. Terrible.
So whether you let us know in the comment section on this, whether you tweeted us, a lot of people who've expressed interest have direct lines to us. So if you do it that way, that's good too.
Oh boy.
But
I was telling the fancy gentleman about our plans while I was watching stuff at his house this weekend. And he goes, this has the makings to be one of the greatest things ever. Or one of the, like, just the show itself.
Right.
Or the biggest disaster we've ever done in our lives.
Well, those next three shows for next week have that feel to them.
Oh, they're make or break.
That's right. So definitely stay tuned. A lot of special things for next week's episode, or next week's episodes of Long Box Heroes and After Dark, shows that are special all the time that don't need any sort of their own week, or all the other shows in our network of shows.
No.
If you go to the bottom of our webpage, the soon-to-be-named network, we've got a litany of shows, Dadstractions, which is Brian and I. We do it every other week. Brian also does the Prodigal Sons podcast with Jared, Ian, and Adam. There's always some sort of contentious thing going on there. Stories about local heroes, and by heroes, I mean monsters who do horrible things. It's always a fun time, if not always safe for work, of course. The aforementioned Podvocacy with Jason and David. Last week, they discussed Blade Runner at length. This week, I don't know, did they put their episode up yet? Did I get my notification? No, I didn't get the notification of the new episode being up yet. I think they were a little late recording, pulling back the curtain a bit. And there was no Fresher in Parlance last week, but I'm sure if you listen to this week's episode, you'll have a good excuse why there wasn't an episode last week. So, moving along with our show, in the show notes, you're going to see links to all the digital sales and freebies and whatnots that are going on. Godzilla Rulers of Earth from IDW is on sale. The Balthazar and Franco All Yeah comics are still half price. Dynamite is having a greatest hits sale. A lot of their trades of stuff. There's, I think, about 40 some odd trades that are half price. I can't stress this enough. Red Sonja, the first trade of the Gail Simone, Walter Giovanni trade is in there for like $4 or $5. If you did not pick it up all the times that it's been on sale, been offered in Humble Bundles or the like, things like that, then what are you waiting for, really?
Mm-hmm.
And then Marvel's freebie books this week, most notably, would be the Book of Doom, Doctor Doom miniseries written by Ed Brubaker.
That's a great story.
Great, great, great. The first issue of that, and then the first issue of the Dan Slott Avengers Initiative book, which was a really good underrated book from that early to mid-2000s post-Civil War, pre-Siege Marvel era.
Good times.
Now, I've talked for a very long time.
Yes.
So, Todd, where would you like to begin with books that we read from this past week?
Why don't we start out with the book that we were both looking forward to the most this week was Weird World by Jason Aaron and Mike Del Mundo.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it's the story of Archon, even though I want to say Akron
every time
it happens. He's lost in the battle world, and he's looking for his home. And last issue, he got trapped by, of all things, underwater apes.
Right.
And this is his exploits of how he's trying to escape with maybe the aid of a character from on the other side of the wall in his cell. And it is, you know, it's aptly named Weird World because that name, you know, suffices for this book.
Right. But it's not so weird that it's not accessible, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's just weird kind of in the layouts of things. Now, obviously, there's also the subplot in there of Morgana Le Fay and her interactions with the dragon, mm-hmm. which I thought were great.
Me too.
And, of course, the person who assists Archon in escaping apparently is someone from the far past of Marvel, and by far past, I mean early 80s.
Right.
And again, I don't know if it's a huge spoiler because they do come right out and say it in the solicitations for the book. But characters from the old Saga of Crystar, Crystal Warrior are in this mm-hmm. book.
I know.
And the lead, Crystar, has been shattered, and as they're escaping, I forget, is it Warbo or Moltar
Warbo,
who's assisting?
Warbo.
Okay. So Warbo, so many dumb names. Warbo.
Okay, Chikaris.
Because Archon gets out, he wants to get his map back. Mm-hmm. And Warbo says, you help me find my friend and we'll go get your map back. What's one more adventure, essentially?
Actually, he tells him, you lost your map, I have a map, and you can have mine if you help me.
Okay.
That's what he says. Yeah.
So there you go. So I like this book a lot. It's fun. It's like its own little self-contained thing that is taking from stuff that no one has read or cared about in a very long time. So it's mm-hmm. not like, well, I need to know the entire history of Warbo and Kristar to understand what's going on. Nobody knows the history of Warbo and Kristar.
Mm-hmm. The thing that I actually love about it is how, like, you know, I'm never going to see myself in the Conan position, you know, the guy who could take on anything, the big muscular beast who can fight anything. But I can understand how he looks at everything and just goes, everybody and everything around me is insane. And that's the exact feeling that I get, but in a good way. So I can relate to him in that way, if you know what I mean. So it's a fun little book. And like I said, I'm a huge fan of Conan, and Jason Aaron is just channeling his Conan, his inner Conan, and that's fine for me.
I get a feeling that this is like all of those Conan-esque ideas that he may have had for Thor that he wasn't able to use. Because everyone's like, no, that's not Thor-like. That's blah, blah, blah. So now he could put them all in here.
Pretty much, yeah. It's like, okay, listen. Thor gets captured by underwater apes.
I'm listening.
And then the Crystal Warriors show up to save him.
Hmm.
How about we put that in Weird World?
Well, the Crystal Warriors aren't in the Avengers movie, so I don't know if we could put them in.
Mm-hmm.
But no, this is definitely a fun book, and, you know, I'm sure you could still find the first issue out there, and of course, if you're one of those digital people, books are always available.
That is true.
So, moving along, one of the other books that we both read from this past week was Sinestro number 13, written by Cullen Bunn, with art by Bradley Walker. So this ties into stuff that's going on in Green Lantern.
Right.
But in a way, I think it's okay if you're not reading Green Lantern.
I think it actually, it might even be kind of cooler because something happens in this and the reader is in the, if you don't read the Green Lantern books, is the same position as Sinestro's daughter. Like, what happened? And you did nothing about this?
Right.
And Sinestro's, like, too cool for school attitude about it is just one of the things that I really love about Sinestro in this book. So that's kind of the way I look at it. And it looks, like you said, like Walker's art and the coloring on this is fantastic. But basically all you really need to know on this book is that, you know, Sinestro is trying to save the I always want to say how they say his planet's name, the Krogarans?
See, I always say Korrigar.
Korrigar.
Because the R is after.
Yes. The Korrigarian.
Oh, right, it's New Korrigar. He's trying to save New Korrigar from being destroyed because there is a traitor in his midst who caused the reactor or the core of the planet to explode.
Right. And everybody thinks that Sinestro's too cocky and too full of himself to just abandon, like, they have the ability, they have a bunch of power rings to take all the people and go, but he has his reasons, and they're good Sinestro reasons. Like, they're not good Todd or Leonard reasons, but good Sinestro reasons as to why he doesn't want to go. And you're just like, man, are you a hardhead? Just, oh, but it's so good. And I think this book has been, like, amazing since the annual shortly before Convergence. And then after this, it's doing its own thing because of what's going on in the Green Lantern books. And I'm like, I'm loving it. And it's one of those books that I kind of want to push on people and just say, forget everything before the annual. Don't worry about it. But the annual and on, you're good to go.
Right, so here's my only thing about this book, and it's not a huge thing, it's just my own personal whatever. So Sinestro is essentially the protagonist of this book, but he's also a bad guy. And I hate how in this book, everyone from Sorenik to the other members of the Sinestro Corps to the other people, Lysa Drak, everyone is like, Sinestro, you're just a coward. You're just doing these things and, you know, you play these games with everyone and then when you start to lose, you're a petulant child who just throws the board. And I'm like, no, he's not. I get mad at them. I'm like, no, he's not. He knows what he's doing. He has an ulterior motive. Like at the end of issue 12, where it seems like he's being a jerk to Sorenik, his daughter, and he is being a jerk to her, but we find out in this issue he did it to her to save her from whatever's happening to the other Green Lanterns.
Right.
He just, well, as you mentioned, he doesn't go about it the same way that you or I would. He goes about it the Sinestro way.
Which there's your way and the Sinestro.
Right. Well, what's the Sinestro way? Your way, but faster.
Right. But the way I look at it is he's three steps ahead of
right.
everybody. And that's fine. And I really think, like you said, the people are like, blah, 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 saying this. But one, Sinestro doesn't care what they say because he's going to do what he wants. And two, the fact that they're all evil jerks.
Yes.
They're not going to go, oh, you know what? I think this Sinestro's okay. I think he's got a plan. Like, they're going to be like, what are you doing? Because they're not quick to, like, you know, on the uptake to just be all, like, Sinestro-y. And I don't know. I just look at it as, of course, they're evil jerks who want to take over the core for themselves. So it's kind of like they're all Starscreams in their own way, just waiting for Megatron to fall over. So I kind of like it.
But Sinestro is the most Starscream of all the Starscreams.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
But
you scream, I scream, we all scream for Starscream.
Not the best title. We have another one.
I know. Right. I don't care.
But yeah, so I'm with you. If you pick this up from that annual and these most recent issues, I think you're going to really get... And I think it's crossing over here shortly with Lobo.
Mm-hmm.
So... You know, both books written by Colin Bunn, both books helping each other out. And again, if these are two books that are crossing over just for a little bit, I'm okay with that because I'm getting them both and I don't have to get anything extra.
Two Colin Bunn issues. Boy, he writes a lot of books, don't he?
He sure does. Speaking of which, the other book that we're going to talk about this week is Magneto number 20, written by Colin Bunn. The penultimate issue of what he has been doing with Magneto, and I think he's continuing doing some X-Men book with all this Marvel Now post-Civil War stuff that is essentially just the sequel to whatever he's doing here.
Right, it's Magneto and his group of, it's like, in a tough world, you need tough X-Men or something like that. I'm not sure exactly what the catchphrase was, but that's, and I'm looking forward, because of this book, I'm looking forward to the Cullen Bunn, you know, X-Men book because of Magneto.
Right. So essentially what this book is, this is one of a couple books that didn't get changed so much by what's going on in Secret Wars, but they're more or less like, we know what happens in the regular Marvel universe when the Marvel universe and the Ultimate Universe essentially collided, causing the two universes to cease. There's books like Magneto, I think Miss Marvel, Loki, stuff like that, that are
Black Widow.
What was that?
Black Widow.
Okay, Black Widow's another, that are all taking place currently while Secret War is going on. It's like, here's the story that happened right before Civil War happened with these characters.
Secret Wars.
I said Civil War. Secret Wars.
Yes.
With these characters.
I was going to say, and a lot of these stories seem to be that they're the last, like, all joking, this is the last days of Magneto. They're like going on as the universes are collapsing, and they're telling the story in flashback. Everyone that I've seen is like, oh, and this is how we got here. And this is about, you know, Magneto's relationship with his daughter, Polaris, and I can't think of the other character, the female who's been working with Magneto the whole time, her motives and everything. And once again, you know, to talk about it like the way we talked about Sinestro, is Magneto's three steps ahead of everybody. And I think Cullen Bunn does better on villain books than he does great on hero books, don't get me wrong. But I like his villains more than I do his heroes, and that's the way I feel about Magneto.
Right. I think, you know, and we've seen this before from other people, writing a book where the villain is the lead essentially the person that you're supposed to care the most about, can sometimes be tough. And the fact that Cullen Bunn is writing so many different books and giving each one of them, like, their own different voice.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But Briar, Briar Raleigh, maybe,
mm-hmm.
is the woman who has been assisting Magneto. And we find out what her scheme was, her involvement with S.H.I.E.L.D., who have been tracking Magneto. And like I said, all these books are coming up to their penultimate part, like the ends of their whatever happens to them. And the end of this certainly looks dire for Magneto.
Yep. I don't think he's going to make it out. That's the way I look right. at it. I think, you know, that X-Men book is just a ruse mm-hmm. that's coming up. No, this is really good. Like I said, in a book that, you know, we know there's going to be a Magneto book, The Other Side of Secret Wars, it makes me think that he's not, like, I still don't think he's going to make it out alive.
Right. Exactly. And I think that's mm-hmm. a great storytelling point, you know?
It's a strength of Cullen
Bunn. Yes.
Now, are you going to read any other books that Cullen Bunn may be doing in the future? Or maybe co-writing?
I could think of one that I won't be.
Okay, I know you're a big Cullen Bunn fan.
I am a big Cullen Bunn fan. And I will say this, I have kind of fallen off a bit on some of his other stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, I did read the Army of Darkness in space thing that he did for Dynamite. Mm-hmm. But I'm falling behind on the Masks one that he's doing, like all those Dynamite pulp characters.
Right.
And I think it's more so because the previous one, and I can't remember who wrote the previous one, but the other one just didn't grab me because I don't have the same affinity for a lot of those characters, you know?
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with
you. But he is doing, I think, a new Shadow book. Mm-hmm. And I'm definitely going to try that.
I would try that mm-hmm. too. But we were taking bets on to see whether or not you're going to try another book, but that's all.
I think you know the answer to that question before you even ask it.
I did. That's why I've cleaned up.
That's right. You were trying to get my goat.
Yes. Mm-hmm. When is Quantum and Woody coming back?
I don't know when Quantum and Woody is coming back. Hang on.
Okay.
We're going to do this on the show. Let's see if I get a response. Oh, boy.
Oh, live tweeting during a show.
James.
That's what we do here. It's all part of the Long Box Heroes experience.
Oh, what's going on here?
What? Is your Twitter down?
No.
I'd sing, but this isn't the all-musical episode. Dear Twitter, how is Mrs. Twitter? I am fine. That's how I start every letter, by the way, who I'm writing. How are you? How is your significant other? I am fine.
Hey.
And then you go into your...
How are you? I miss your work from Valiant on Quantum and Woody.
Mm-hmm.
What do you got next in the pipeline?
You know what the coaches in the NFL always say? Think before you hit send. Mm-hmm. Is that what you want to say?
Yes, it is.
Think before you hit. Okay, then hit send.
So we'll see. Maybe we'll get a response during the course of the show. Maybe not. So, Todd, let's get into... We've already covered what we read from this past week. Let's get into what we're looking forward to coming out this week.
Mm-hmm.
If you head over to longboxheroes.com, every Tuesday evening around 5 o'clock Eastern time, I put up the poll post. It is a link within a link. Inside the first link is a link to all the books that are coming out in stores this week. Whether you get your books digitally, whether you get your books sent to you in the mail once a month in a giant 25-pound box like some people I talked to in Connecticut this past week, or like Todd and I, you go to the comic book store and get your books week in and week out. Also in there is all the books that I'm getting and all the books that Todd is getting. Yet again, I'm getting more books than Todd. What is this world that we're living in?
That's right. I even have three Doctor Who books, right, and I'm still getting less than you.
We try to guess what the other is most looking forward to coming out. Todd currently has a sizable lead over me with 18 correct guesses to my 13 correct guesses. This is going to be a tough week. If you read the little blurb above the top of the poll post, you might know why.
Okay.
You started the show, so you guess first.
I'm going to look over your list, and I'm looking at a lot of books there. There's a lot of Jason Aaron books. There's Colin Bunn book. There's Mark Wade book. But if I had a guess, there's a writer by the name of Gail Simone who writes Red Sonja, and number 17 is out, and you seem to really, 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 really like that book. So my choice is Red Sonja 17.
You would be correct. It would have been tough any other week to pick one of the three Jason Aaron books that are out this week. But like a lot of other books that are coming out currently, this is legitimately the second to last solicited Red Sonja Gail Simone book. And, you know, the big story kind of ended 2 issues ago, and this is just kind of tying up all the loose ends here at this point. But it's still a great book. Highly recommended. So you, Todd, we eliminate, the Doctor Who books. I'm eliminating the Black Widow book. I'm eliminating Daredevil. I'm between two books. I could literally flip a coin, and I could go either way with either choice. But I'm going to say that the book you're most looking forward to coming out this week would be Thor's number 2.
And you are... Pause for dramatic effect.
Correct. Yay! No movement on the board.
Though I do have a question for both of us. Who's getting the right Star Wars issue, me or you?
Okay. I hate to be that guy and say I always default to me being right. But let me double check.
Right, because I'm getting issue 7, you're getting issue 8.
I just got a very strange message from the Marvel website. Okay, so Marvel's website does claim it is number 7, so that is a rare mistake by me. Shame on me.
Yay, Todd is right. I feel... vindicated.
Good for you. I'm going to have to fix that in the poll post.
No problem.
So I don't look foolish.
Then people won't know what we're talking about.
That's right. So while you're over at longboxheroes.com, be sure to click on the ads on the right-hand side of the page for little sponsors, little kickbacks. I don't know how those work. The one thing that I do know how it works, if you click on the button that says store, you could buy a sticker or a t-shirt and we see money from that. Or you can click on the Amazon link across the top of the page. We get a couple cents on the back end from that as well. This past week, notable purchases include the Brian Michael Bendis Words for Pictures book and the book How to Run a Theater. Both of those books, I can pinpoint the exact moment they were ordered.
Really?
Yes, I can. I did not order them myself, but when I got emails or had conversations with people, it's like, oh, you got an Amazon link, don't you? I'm going to buy something. What's the link? It's like, here you go. So thanks to both of you. I could name you both here on the show, but I don't want to embarrass you. One will definitely hear this. The other one will have no idea.
Yes, but it could be gifts, and you could ruin.
No.
I'm just kidding.
Not gifts.
Not gifts.
No.
Aren't those little videos, pictures that you see on Twitter, gifts?
Right. Now the argument is that they're actually called gifs.
That's peanut butter.
Right, but people who say gifs are wrong.
Okay, I'm so confused. I eat gifs, right, but I watch gifs.
Right.
Gotcha.
So you could also help us out in a non-monetary way, heading over to iTunes, leaving us a review, clicking 5 stars. No new review this week. That's all I'm going to say about that. Second to lastly, over at longboxheroes.com, also you can find out how you can enter into a contest that we're having, thanks to our good friend Tom Derenick. where if you correctly guess who the actress is going to be playing Carol Danvers in the upcoming Marvel Captain Marvel movie, you will win a free sketch of your choice with some restrictions from our good friend Tom Derenick. Click that post on the front page of our website and you could find out how you can win that sketch. The one last thing that you could do before go away from our website is vote in our weekly question. This week was the first matchup in the second round of the Marvel bracket to determine who the top character of Longbox Heroes, whatever is. I don't know what we're calling it. Something.
We should have thought of that before we started.
We should have did a lot of things before we started, Todd. this week, it was a battle that has happened a couple times in the Marvel Universe, and that is the Hulk versus Spider-Man. So the fans have voted, Todd, and I'm waiting for the results to load here. There we go. And by a sizable, more than 3-1 margin, moving on to the next round, is Spider-Man.
Ah. Oh.
Next week.
I mean, yay.
What was that?
I mean, yay.
Yeah, I listen. I like the Hulk a lot. I like Spider-Man. Spider-Man is my all-time favorite character.
Right.
So I have no choice. I have to be happy that Spider-Man is moving along.
I like Hulk more, but that's just a personal preference.
Next week is another matchup where we had an upset taking on a favorite. We're in the second matchup in the second round of the DC bracket as we see the number 3 seed, Batgirl, taking on the number 12 seed in Supergirl. I would have liked to have gotten the Batman-Superman matchup in there. We might at some point, but right now maybe there's a precursor to that as Batgirl takes on Supergirl. And who moves on to the next round? Well, that's up to you, gentle listener. So I think that covers everything except for where you can find us on Twitter. You can follow the show on Twitter at Longbox Heroes. You can follow me on Twitter at LF Chikarison. You can follow Todd on Twitter at Roker the Joker. That's R-O-W-K-E-R the Joker. And you can also follow his other Twitter account, Todd's Art Attack. If you've got some cool art that you've done yourself, some commissions that you've had done, some original pages or whatnot that you've picked up at a convention or just ordered online, which you could do this day and age, order directly from the artist, tweet at us at Todd's Art Attack, and we'll be sure to share that cool art that you have with all of our cool listeners.
I love seeing art.
Mm-hmm. So I think, is there anything else we need to cover now?
I can't think of it.
All right. So, everyone, thank you very much for listening to this week, episode 60 of Longbox Heroes, as we get ready for next week's Longbox Heroes Week, where there's lots of special stuff going to be happening on all of the podcasts, the Fantastic Four possible meetup, who knows. Stay tuned. We'll let you know what's going on. For Todd, this is Leonard, and we'll catch you all here next week.
Remember, be a faucet, not a drain.
Boop!